next on the 5 o'clock report.
Which he said on Twitter was in honor of his son, Joaquin.
Before Governor Hochul and her policies,
you have falling COVID hospitalizations in all 50 states.
God is just so good.
Now, let's go to the newsroom.
Good afternoon and welcome to the broadcast. I'm Tracy Lynn. The U.S. is standing by Ukraine as the drumbeats of war with Russia grow louder. Pentagon spokesman John Kirby says of Russia starting an armed conflict,
we obviously don't want that to be the outcome. Neither do the Ukrainians, and certainly neither do our NATO allies.
The U.S. temporarily shutting down the American embassy in Kyiv, Ukraine. CBN's George Thomas notes despite the Russian troop buildup,
Ukrainian Christians deploy their own weapon, a shield of prayer and worship.
People are worried, but we encourage them to look to Jesus with all of our might, because it's only through prayer that we can keep peace in our country.
President Biden has said no U.S. combat troops will be sent to Ukraine, though American forces have been sent to bolster NATO allies in Eastern Europe. Mr. Biden has threatened swift and harsh economic consequences if Russia invades Ukraine. Here in the U.S., a new legal filing from special counsel John Durham says Hillary Clinton's 2016 presidential campaign paid an internet company to penetrate servers at the Trump Towers. Correspondent Bob Agnew.
The filing says the Clinton campaign infiltrated the servers in order to create the impressions of links between Donald Trump and Russia. Special Counsel Durham has filed a motion in connection with Clinton campaign attorney Michael Sussman, who allegedly lied when presenting documents supposedly linking Trump to a Kremlin-owned bank just prior to the 2016 election. Former President Trump says the document, quote, provides indisputable evidence that my campaign and presidency were spied on by operatives paid by the Hillary Clinton campaign in an effort to develop a completely fabricated connection to Russia.
Former Director of National Intelligence John Ratcliffe reportedly said there's enough evidence to indict multiple people in the investigation into the origins of the Trump-Russia probe. Flags flying at half-staff in Florida today on the fourth anniversary of the deadly Parkland school shooting. Governor Ron DeSantis issued the order in honor of the 17 victims. Reporter Chris Cruz says a man who lost his son in that massacre hoisted a banner on a construction tower urging support for gun control.
Manuel Oliver climbed 150 feet to hang the large banner, which he said on Twitter was in honor of his son Joaquin, who was one of 17 people killed at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. Oliver posted a video of himself standing on the freezing and windy tower. Police closed roads in the area.
President Biden marked the day by renewing his call for tougher gun laws, including a ban on assault weapons. Others say more aid is needed to help youth deal with trauma and mental health issues. Meanwhile, over the last 18 years, researchers have learned a lot about the social-emotional development growth of young children. Correspondent Bradley Blackburn speaking of new guidelines by the CDC.
Benchmarks include smiling for the first time by 2 months and taking first steps by 15 months. The changes are expected to make it easier to identify delays and start intervention earlier.
And some Christians are celebrating St. Valentine's Day, or the Feast of St. Valentine. The day celebrated each February 14th started as a Western Christian feast honoring early saints. It's now a major cultural and commercial celebration of romance and love. St. Valentine of Rome was recognized for his martyrdom for being sent to prison after performing weddings for soldiers who were forbidden to marry. He was also known for ministering to Christians who were persecuted by the Roman Empire. Still to come this Monday, the danger of cannabis products in New York, political polling in PA, and applauding the Super Bowl champs.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast for the night tonight. We'll find starlight, patchy clouds, still some lake effect snow southeast of the lakes, a couple inches of fluff for some. Low temperatures, mainly single digits. A few spots will dip below zero, though, where skies are clear. Now, for the day tomorrow, still very cold, not as cold as it was today, though. Plenty of clouds with some lake flakes southeast of lakes, partly sunny elsewhere, high in the 20s. And Wednesday, partly sunny, turning much milder, reaching into the 40s.
Thank you, Kevin. Now for stories making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania. Retailers in New York State will soon be able to legally sell marijuana products, yet experts say the new industry is already creating problems for children. Family Life's Jeremy Miller has the details.
Yeah, that's right. Cannabis-infused treats, or edibles as they're called, are already available, and kids are eating them. Upstate Poison Control says calls about children getting into edibles have spiked fourfold in the last 3 years, because they look exactly like candy and snacks. Doctors say the treats attract unsuspecting kids who rarely eat just one. Doctors say people are often afraid of calling anyone if their child eats one of these products, but poison control will help make sure the children are going to be okay. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
Thank you, Jeremy. Meanwhile, a poll in PA puts gubernatorial candidate former Congressman Lou Barletta 4 points ahead of his closest competition in the race's Republican primary contest. The Trafalgar Group's data from earlier this month shows the Hazleton native with nearly a quarter of the support ahead of State Senator Doug Mastriano with nearly 20%. So far in the packed GOP field, the poll shows State Senator Jay Corman and attorney Bill McSwain have picked up single-digit support. Meanwhile, the battle between New York State and healthcare workers seeking religious exemptions for COVID shots continues.
Most of our clients had sought religious exemptions and were granted them by their hospitals before Governor Hochul and her policy say no, hospitals, despite their ability to accommodate and exempt their clients, are forbidden to do so.
The Thomas More Society's Michael McHale tells Family Life the state's mandate focuses on stopping disease transmission. Looking at the broader workforce, Dr. Joel Zinberg at Mount Sinai Health System in New York City notes,
while vaccines were very effective at interrupting transmission at the outset, with each successive wave of variants, they've become less effective, and with Omicron, they're really the effectiveness is quite low. You have falling COVID hospitalizations in all 50 states. So I think it's really time to reconsider these mandates before you start firing essential workers.
We're slated to know more in the federal health care workers case by this Friday. Next at 5, we look at some of the top issues facing students, parents, and employees at public schools with Dr. Ralph Kerr.
Speaking of Buffalo, there was a big story there last week. The 9th school shooting in this country happened there a few days ago, McKinley High School. This is a school district, Ralph, that is notorious for getting in fights. There have been a lot of them, and a lot of parents were saying that this was inevitable, that something like this would happen. Sadly, nobody lost their lives, but really scary stuff. And what we want to talk about with you today is just the communication that goes on when there is a tragedy like this, a school shooting. Many parents said they couldn't get a hold of their kids. Some said that the phones had been confiscated. Do you fault the district there at all for the communications difficulties that arose during this tragedy?
Well, there certainly are communication protocols. It may be that the district hadn't communicated the protocols as well as they should, or it could be that the parents were aware of the protocols, but in the moment of crisis had forgotten about them. I don't know this for a fact, but many districts do take the students' phones at the beginning of the day. I know in New York City that's the case. That may be the protocol in Buffalo. So to say that they were confiscated has a negative tone, which may be that they were, in fact, that's just their normal standard procedure. But the district also has protocols. For instance, when something like this happens, there's an automatic call for lockdown to keep everybody safe. And the next step is a shelter in place. And I think the district, you know, at the time, was unsure who the shooter or stabber was and whether they could even, have gone into the building or if they were in the surrounding area. So they made the decision that the safest place for the students was to just stay in the building.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the parents were anxious, and that's understandable, but I think the district did the right thing there.
Yeah, and Carter Cash made a good point. He said, you know, this was happening just as school was letting out for the day, and it was a very confusing time. So it's easy to Monday morning quarterback that. But that was a district that has had a lot of problems over the past several weeks. We'll see what action plans they come up with as a result of this. And then there's a Valentine's Day today. Ralph, sorry, I forgot to get you flowers or card. I hope you'll forgive me.
There's still time. You know, it's Monday. So.
There's still time. That's right. Nothing beats that last minute, right? If you live in Providence, Rhode Island, it is a woke Valentine's Day this year. There's a private school there that it's telling its students. We all remember when we'd hand out those cards on Valentine's Day. Well, at this school, you better not hand out cards if they're not gender-neutral Valentine's Day cards. Your reaction?
Well, I have some really choice words that I could say, but I'll pass on that and just say that I think this is contrary to all commonly held norms and that it's just calling for action on the part of parents. Certainly, if I had children that went to that school, although I wouldn't because I support public schools, I would be on the phone with people and with the administration really calling them out on this because it's totally inappropriate.
And the only reason we really mention, well, there's a couple of reasons. One of the main reasons we mention that story is because it's a great segue to what we're going to talk about next, and that's getting Christians involved in their local school boards. If stuff like this bothers you, then serve on your local school board. And there's no better way to influence your local community than to do just that. This is the time of year, Ralph, where folks are starting to get those petitions going. Information on how to do that is on your website. And there's a couple videos, I understand, that you've produced that will help answer some questions.
Yeah, for a long time, we've had some information on there, which people can read. But we've just recently added some videos that are broken into short segments, the various topics about running for your local school board. And we'd encourage people to just go to our website, which is whyrun.org, and check out the new videos.
That's Ralph Kerr with the Teaching and Learning Institute speaking with Family Life's Bob Price. You can catch up on Issues in Education episodes at familylife.org/podcasts. Now time for your market report, brought to you by Ambassador Advisors. Here's Family Life's Dave Margolotti.
Stocks are down today as the market is weighing caution with lots of uncertainty, especially focused around Russia and the Fed's next steps in dealing with inflation. The price of oil also continuing to rise, with oil futures surpassing $95 a barrel today. The Dow was down 171 points. The Nasdaq flipped and flopped before ending pretty flat, and the S&P 500 today fell 17 points. Ambassador Advisors is a Christian financial planning firm helping faithful stewards do more, online at ambassadoradvisors.com.
Thank you, Dave. You're listening to the 5 o'clock report on Family Life.
Happy St. Valentine's Day. Hi, I'm Rob West with a MoneyWise Minute. We don't know much about the man called St. Valentine. We do know he lived in the 3rd century. He ministered to persecuted Christians and was killed because of his witness for Christ. We also know he's been honored on February 14th ever since about 500 AD. Only centuries later did he become associated with romantic love. Well, romantic love is a good thing, but let's not forget that the man whose name is associated with February 14th loved Jesus, even unto death. You and I may never be called to die for Jesus, but we are called, because of love, to put everything we have at His disposal, including our time and our treasure. Manage your finances wisely with the easy-to-use MoneyWise app. Download MoneyWise Biblical Finance from your app store or learn more at moneywise.org.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Arctic air is in place, and that will result in a bitter cold night tonight. Another chilly day tomorrow, and a brief but rather notable surge in warmth comes our way later in the week. Here's our forecast for the night tonight. Bitter cold. We'll find starlight, patchy clouds, still some lake effect snow southeast of the lakes, a couple inches of fluff for some. Low temperatures, mainly single digits. A few spots will dip below zero, though, where skies are clear. Now, for the day tomorrow, still very cold, not as cold as it was today, though. Plenty of clouds with some lake flakes southeast of the lakes, partly sunny elsewhere, high in the 20s. And Wednesday, partly sunny, turning much milder. The high temperature Wednesday reaching into the 40s.
Thank you, Kevin. Finally at 5, the Rams taking home the Super Bowl trophy.
Burrow trying to keep it going, gets spun down, gets it away, and incomplete.
L.A. scored late, then got that key defensive stop to become the second host team in a row to win NFL's top title, 23-20 over the Cincinnati Bengals.
In a pressure situation, I don't know if I have ever seen anybody be better than Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp.
Rams receiver Cooper Kupp was named MVP.
I don't feel deserving of this. God is just so good. I'm just so thankful for the guys I get to be around, for the coaches, for my family.
Plenty of PA talent on the title-winning Rams team with former Pitt star Aaron Donald, Lancaster native and Penn State alum Nick Scott, former Nittany Lion Grant Haley, and Stroudsburg native Sebastian Joseph Day, each getting a ring for Super Bowl 56. And that's the world we live in this 14th of February. Thanks for coming along. I'm Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.